Jesus is the only way to have peace with God. Though there is only one way to God, everyone's journey to Jesus is unique and magnificent. Here is a story of one's journey to Christ, now on Redemption Report. Welcome to the Redemption Report podcast. Today I have last week's guest's husband, which is actually my uncle, my mom's brother, next brother down in the lineup, if I'm not mistaken. So, Uncle Jim, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
So, if someone has heard the my mom's podcast, they may have a little bit of an idea of some of your upbringing. So if you haven't listened to that podcast, you can definitely go back and listen to it. But can you tell us just a little bit about where you grew up and what life looked like for you in your formative years?
I grew up in a middle-class home. My dad worked for IBM. He also was in the Naval Reserves. So kind of a typical American household. My parents did think it was important to go to Christian school. Mm-hmm. And so all of us kids went to Christian school. So I was the middle of five kids. And so, yeah, we did quite a bit of traveling growing up, and we just had a lot of times we would, when we were traveling, we'd go to the church and such like that out on the road. And we'd always get a bulletin we'd take back so we'd be able to keep our perfect attendance going. So on our pins on our lapel, okay, that we'd wear on our suit coats every Sunday when we would show up to church. So, yeah, that was going to church was something that was a really big part of our family.
And, for sure.
Yeah, we really grew up in a very loving home and a bunch of different life experiences with that.
Yeah, so that traveling has definitely resurfaced again recently. You're in the middle of an epic road trip. We talked to your wife last week on podcast, the last episode, being able to hear a little bit about that. But have you, in this trip that you've taken all over the country the last few weeks, has there been any memories that come to mind from your childhood, from when you traveled as a family?
Yes. I mean, just the ability to be able to go to the, you know, different national parks and then just travel through the, you know, wide expanse of the U.S., especially, you know, areas that go straight through like Kansas and so on like that. I mean, I can remember doing that as a kid. There's not a whole lot of anything to see there. I think we have more trees in Greenville County than they have in the entire state there. But it always brings back memory being able to just be out in the open road and see, you know, God's creation and you know, that type of thing.
Yeah, I feel like Kansas is best driven at night when you don't have to look out the windows. You can just, you know, there's less traffic and you can just go in that straight line on I-70.
I think the bugs are larger at night, though.
That is true, especially in the summer months.
Yes, they crash into the windshield, so they make a significant impact. So
yeah, I hate getting to when you have to stop for gas and you're looking forward to cleaning off the windshield and they're out of fluid or out of all of the sticks are broken or lost.
So. Yeah, that's always a challenge.
Yeah. So going back to your formative years and growing up, we've established that you did hear about Jesus from an early age, but that doesn't mean it always connects right away or really identifies like, hey, I need a savior. So when was the first time, not necessarily that you when you believed, but when's the first time you kind of realized that, hey, I need this, or this is something that is available to me?
I think I always knew that it was available to me, but it was, you know, not until I was seven that it was actually something that I made a decision myself personally.
Okay.
We were always growing up, we'd go to church, we'd sing the songs, and we'd, you know, hear about Christ and you know, all the different stories in Sunday school and so on like that. And yeah, it was kind of interesting. It was a Bible time, neighborhood Bible time type of thing. It was actually called Joy Clubs.
Okay.
And it stood for Jesus, Others, and You. So
it's a wonderful way to spell joy, as the song goes, right?
Oh, yes, very much so. I'm sure we sang that song as part of it. So we were at ladies in our church, at her house, and she had it all sitting on a blanket and so on like that. You know, this is kind of came off from a discussion that my next younger brother, John, and I had the previous week. And so she asked, I think it was on toward the end of the week, she had asked if anybody had not accepted Christ as their own personal Savior yet. And my brother raises his hand very, very energetically. And she says, yes. She says, my brother hasn't. So I got kind of volunteered for the whole thing. But at the reality, then she asked me if I would like to, you know, go and, you know, spend some time talking to her. And she explained it, you know, how that it could be something where I personally could accept Jesus Christ as my own Savior. And it clicked. I understood exactly what she was talking about it. And I just put all the information that I had gotten, you know, from years and years previous to that, mm-hmm. Together, and got to, you know, understanding that, yeah, it's something I wanted to do. So I liked the aspect of the fact that it wasn't, you know, this hellfire and brimstone message where right. I got scared into accepting Christ so I wouldn't end up in hell, that I'd be able to, you know, spend eternity with Christ. But it was the situation also that, I mean, my parents didn't try to push me, get saved, get saved, get saved. Mm-hmm. I mean, they took me to church. I was in church when I was 5 days old for the first time. So I not quite made an entire week without going to church.
You don't remember that. You're just going off accounts.
I'd heard the story numerous times.
That's actually when the pins started,
yes.
The church attendance.
And that was actually a big thing. With the actual major pin, and then we had multiple year pins underneath that for perfect attendance.
Do you remember how high you got in that?
No, I can't remember exactly. And then, you know, as things change, you know, we weren't so focused on the additional pins and so on like that.
Right.
But it's all part, and it's unique, it's interesting. Well, I mean, that's one thing is you don't get saved for showing up to church.
Correct.
You know, that's one of the big things. That it's actually a personal decision that each one of us has to make. So you can do a lot of good. You can go to church a lot, and yours doesn't change your eternal destination because
Correct.
Of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, like, going back to that relationship aspect that was attractive to you, I think, especially in that time period, as I understand, because I think growing up, even for me, I was on towards the tail end of that, but there's a lot of those, you reference hellfire and brimstone type messages where people would, you know, they'd have those revival or
yep.
evangelistic services, which I think are important. Unfortunately, by and large, have gone away. And I think there has to be a balance where
yes. yep.
I think today's culture has shifted more towards God is loving and wants to have a relationship with you. And that's really important. But I would imagine that when you were growing up, it was probably less of that and more focused on, you're a sinner, you're terrible, and you're going to spend eternity in hell if you don't repent.
Yep. And a lot of emphasis also on the aspect of the rules and regulations of the Christian life versus the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And that was another interesting thing is as I continued to get older, I was baptized at 10. It's something I wanted to do. Again, it wasn't anything I was pushed into. But I wanted to be able to publicly stand up and say, as I've explained to, you know, even my kids, you know, like, what is baptism? And it's one of those things I try to minimize it down so it's easily for everybody to understand.
Right.
And I just, you know, basically said that it's an opportunity for you to be able to stand up and say, yeah, I'm with him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want. I want everybody to know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's really important. Now, from when my parents both shared their stories. We got a little idea of the Ross Corners area there in Vestal, New York, where you grew up. And she told her story of getting baptized at the old Ross Corners Church, as well as your older brother, Kevin, who
yes.
had the whole bird incident falling into
no,
the
No, that was actually me.
That was you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the bird incident was me.
Gets attributed elsewhere when I hear yes. the stories.
So
tell us a little bit about that, your baptism.
The whole front of the church was done really nice. They kept up with that because that's the part everybody saw. And, it's just kind of funny thinking about that now because it relates to us as Christians. The aspect of the back area, though, where hardly anybody ever went, that was, the maintenance was not kept up with back there. So there was actually an area that the ceiling was kind of broken away above where the baptistry was. And then there was big louvers to, you know, be able to vent out the air. On the Inquisitor, there was no air conditioning. And they just be able to, you know, have a big exhaust fan. Birds would come in occasionally and they would make nests in the attic and so on. Well, I was the first one in line for all the group of us that were getting baptized that day. And had a pastor, I mean, that guy was, he had real large hands. And so the bird fell from the attic into the pool, and I didn't have my glasses on. So I started wearing glasses at a really young age. And so I didn't see this thing. My buddy behind me told me about it. And then I actually went back and saw the bird later. But he scooped it out of the water, set it up on the edge, and kept right on going with the whole surface. And about another eight of us got baptized, you know, right then. So, yeah, it was kind of a unique experience. But what I was referring to earlier was the aspect of that's the way we live our Christian lives. Mm. We're so focused on what everybody else thinks of us and how we appear to other people. And so everything looks good out in the front. But it's the back part. That's the problem areas. That's the part that really God is really trying to get straightened out and have us to be able to go ahead and take care of.
Yeah.
It's an interesting situation is that no one ever once has said, well, if I did this, how would this appear before God? Because God already knows.
Yeah.
But we've many times over our lives have asked ourselves, well, if I do that, what is so-and-so going to think? Or what's that person going to think? Or what's the people at church, what are they going to think?
Right, right.
And realistically, what the only thing that matters is what God thinks about it. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, our proper response to be as we continue to live our Christian lives should always be, you know, what does God want me to do?
Yeah.
And that's what's cool about having the opportunity to be able to have the... when we do get saved, the Holy Spirit comes and lives with inside of us. And so we have the opportunity to be able to constantly be able to hear from the Holy Spirit within our lives. And the more we're attuned to that and the more we're obedient to that, doing the things we're supposed to do and not doing the things we're not supposed to do, then the more we understand hear that small voice and we're able to step into that and be led by the Holy Spirit within our lives and doing the things that we're supposed to do, not that we're guilted into or anything like that.
Right. Yeah, I like how you made that connection. You know, it's probably not a story you think about all the time or something like you said, it's been a while, but to be able to make that connection with how important it is that, and just to even think to the idea, going back to how the relationship with God and wanting to know you personally was important, that whole background piece makes so much more sense or comes much more alive that God wants to know and wants us to give up the real part of us, not the facade or the outward side of things. So that's really cool. So 10 years old, following Christ, getting baptized. What, I know your wife mentioned there was a point in time where you kind of, she dedicated her life, rededicated, however you want to term it. Was there a point in time where you kind of were like, I'm all in, or was it just basically ever since that point? Because we all go through different seasons.
Right. Actually, it was later. It was actually in college. But one of the things through basically my whole teenage years, I had always continued to hear about preaching about dedicating your life to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And that was typically came from the missionary that came in for the week-long whole evangelistic services and so on like that into our small church there. And it was an independent Baptist church, and that's just the emphasis was, you know, this was a missionary, and he was a missionary to Africa, and he explained about his story and how that they lived right along with the people in Africa and into, you know, the grass huts and everything like that. And nope, I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to dedicate my life to the Lord, because what that meant is the next thing I would have to do is move to Africa and live in a grass hut. And I didn't particularly like either one, not that I knew much about either one, but it didn't sound like something I would like to do. Mm-hmm. So that's how, what I associated with, if you give your life over to the Lord 100%, then the next thing is you show up in Africa and you have to live in this grass hut. Yeah. And that's just not something I wanted to do.
Yeah.
But I really didn't understand what it really meant and what really, bottom line, what it was until about my third year at school. I went to Bob Jones in their carpentry program to learn to trade. And
it's a school down in South Carolina for those that don't know. Yeah, go ahead.
In Greenville, South Carolina, mm-hmm. So it's a great university there, and I was in the trade aspect of it. And we were basically... we learned to trade, and as well as a bunch of Bible classes and stuff like that as well. So I got to a point where I understood that this whole thing, as far as the Christian life and me dedicating my life to it, was a situation where I needed to not do what I did because my parents wanted me to do, not do what I did because the pastor wanted me to do this. It was, I'm going to live my life because this is what God wants me to do.
Right.
And that aspect I mentioned earlier about the Holy Spirit and, listening to him and doing what the Holy Spirit wanted me to do. Because there's all kinds of, forces, just encouragements, or, people might have agendas that want you to do this or not do this and all that type of thing. And, most of the time they're good-meaning people. But when it comes down to it, what does Scripture have to say about this?
Right.
What is the Holy Spirit telling you to do? And what is other good godly counsel that have given you good solid counsel in the past and directed you back to Christ?
Mm-hmm.
What are they having to say about this whole situation? And you're taking all that in and you continue to pray about it. And then you go ahead and make decisions based on that. And as God continues to open doors, you continue to walk through them. And then as God closes doors, then you, obviously that's not where I'm supposed to go right now.
Yeah.
So the aspect of, totally dedicating my life to God and doing what he wanted me to do basically came in my third year in college.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. So it was a situation where I, basically all my convictions, my standards, everything like that were put back into place, after that, but it was based on fully, this is what God wanted me to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, what challenges have occurred since that time of kind of dedicating your life to God? Because obviously it's not, I dedicated life and life is a walk in the park per se. But what are some challenges that you've had to go through as a result of following Christ?
One of the biggest things was when I would make decisions, even before my official rededication to the Christian mm-hmm. life and full commitment to it, was just the fact that, after I was a Christian, I wouldn't do this and this and this. And so then, you're called all kinds of names, or you're the outsider, or you don't go with this. And, then as I got older, you start dating and stuff like that, and all your friends are dating in this style and so on like mm-hmm. that. And I'm like, no, I think I should wait to marriage
mm-hmm.
Because I feel that's what God wants me to do. And so, of course, then you get made fun of for that, and then you don't get as many dates and so on. And I got to a point where, I was like, it's more important for me to do what is right versus doing what everybody else, thinks, or giving me a hard time, or trying to manipulate me to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think, there's something that's much more important. And that's something that's proved very beneficial in my whole life.
Certainly.
The way we, when I got married, when we got married, and who I got married to, and then the family that, God has given us, and how we raised our kids was always based on what we felt God wanted us to
mm-hmm.
do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's definitely one of those things much harder to do and put into practice than it is to say, because I think most people would say, oh yeah, that's how I'd like to do my life, but much harder to do. But so much more rewarding when you are able to follow God in those areas of your life, even though it is a challenge in the time.
Yeah, and that was another big thing on that, was the aspect of, there's no question about it, there's significant pleasures here in the world.
For sure.
To be able to go out and participate in at so many different levels. And the vast majority of people are out there that are doing that type of thing. Or you can have true joy and true peace in your life through following God and, mm-hmm. and doing what he wants you to do. So that's always not going to be the most fun thing. That's always not going to be the most exciting thing. But to have true peace and joy in life long-term in your life is so much more important, but it's also much more satisfying as well.
Certainly. Yeah. So what, on the flip side of that, since following Christ, what would you say is some of the greatest joys you've experienced as a result of being one of God's children?
It's the opportunity to be able to share Christ with other people. That's the biggest thing, is the opportunity to be able to show people and tell people of who God is and how that the same God that showed up in my life can show up in your life. That I would dare say that's the most rewarding, most exciting thing. It's because the Christian life and is not about all the things I do or don't do. It's about who God is, mm-hmm. and be able to have an opportunity and privilege to be able to point people to Him.
Yeah. No, I share that. When I told my story, that was definitely something I pointed to as well, where it's like, I don't believe there's a greater thrill out there when you're able to share and then you see someone come to that knowledge, or it starts to make click and make sense. And you're like, oh, God's Spirit is working right now in this person's life. It's just so, so special to be a part of that when that is able to occur.
One other thing is that as you're continuing to listen to Holy Spirit, as you're talking to somebody, you know, has asked for counseling or they're asked for some help in this area and stuff like that, and I'll be going along and telling them, you know, some good ideas, some things that I have as good ideas, things that I've seen, you know, God show up and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, tell them this. Mm. And I'm like, yeah, okay, that'd be offensive. I'm not going to do that. And the Holy Spirit says, tell them this. And my wife and I were together with a couple that were having significant marital issues. Mm-hmm. And I pushed back several different times, not willing to do what God had asked me to do. Because we didn't know these people that well. They'd asked us to come over. And I said, okay, Holy Spirit just told me to tell you something, so I'm just going to put it out there.
Just the messenger.
And this is what it is. And I said, the whole problem with this whole situation is that you're selfish. Well, you don't tell somebody that, especially down south, to a Christian woman, wife and so on. You don't tell somebody that.
Not unless you're ready to dart out the door.
Yeah, head out the door or the closest window.
Right.
So immediately, as soon as I said that, she started crying. Hmm. And she said, that's exactly... that's exactly what God has been telling me.
Hmm.
I didn't know that.
Right.
But God did.
Yeah.
So that was one of the times that it was really cool to see that the Christian life, the opportunity and privilege that we have to be able to participate in, is all about that. It's a privilege to participate in what God's doing. Mm-hmm. And God's at work. God's at work in so many different lives at so many different levels. And if we're just willing to open ourselves up and to listen to the Holy Spirit in our lives and be obedient to Him in this area and start doing this, say this to that person, say that to this person. And then at the same time, when God says, hey, this right here, stop doing that. Yeah, but it's fun. It's no big deal. All it is a little conversation. I'm not flirting with them. All I'm doing is just being friendly. Mm-hmm. Stop doing it. Okay, fine. I'll listen to you. I'll stop doing this. I'll say this to this person. I'll, you know, come out and directly confront that other person. But it's not about me. It's not about what I want to do. It's not about my agenda.
Yeah.
It's everything to do with the privilege of being working and showing up when God says show up. Mm-hmm. And if you live your life that way, the aspects of, you know, as I said earlier, peace, joy, and true satisfaction in life is just absolutely amazing.
Yeah. That reminds me of Philippians chapter 2, where it says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. It says, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. You know, Jesus did all this because of the joy that was set before him. And like you're saying, like there is, even going back to your early years, joy in serving Jesus, joy in following Jesus. Yeah. It's not drudgery. You know, he says, my burden is light. Like, I've come to give comfort and rest. And so, when we understand that God created us and he designed us, so he knows how life works best, then when we follow him and life does work well that way, it all, that experiential knowledge certainly helps to, continue that moving forward, as opposed to, oh, well, just on the out, on the face value, it just looks like we're giving up a lot of fun or pleasure or satisfaction that others would have by not following Christ.
Well, one other thing real quick is going back to our family. Mm-hmm. When we were in a young marrieds class, and we had actually, I think we were expecting, or we were just about ready to have our first child, and we had a guest speaker come in, and they specifically talked about the opportunity to be able to raise the next generation for Christ. And so at that point, then I had a major focus, a major goal in my life, and to be able to, there's ministries out there of this kind, that kind, and so on like that, that are great, and it's cool to be able to have an opportunity to be a part of that. But specifically on a one-on-one basis, to be able to have raise your children in the Christian home and to be able to point them in the direction to be able to follow Christ was absolutely incredible. Mm-hmm. And you have, when you have one child or eight children, it's just amazing to see, you know, God work in their lives and continue to look to him for that wisdom every single step along the way as you continue to train them up in the way that they should go.
Yeah, that's really good. What would you say for someone listening to this that you'd want to leave them with after hearing your story? Say, I want to leave you with this one takeaway. What would that be?
I would say, make sure you understand that it's not about you as an individual. Hmm. It's about you having the privilege to be a part of God's story. Just like when you read the Bible, those aren't perfect men. Those are not perfect women. They are, it's a story about how God showed up in all these people's lives. And that's exactly what he wants to do with us. So if we lean into him and lean into what he's telling us, we'll have an opportunity to be able to be Christ to other people. And that's the most important thing that any of us can do, is have an opportunity to be able to show who God is to other people. Mm-hmm. Not that we're a big deal, that Christ is a big deal, and that we can always point people to him. And he is somebody that will never fail you.
Yeah, well said. Well, as we come to a close, wanted to ask you if you could, I know you're just getting into a new field we were discussing just briefly, so if you could just very short or very briefly explain kind of what field you're kind of starting a new business in, and if you want to leave the website of where someone, if they were interested in learning more about it, they could go to.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting, because the fact is, that's all that goes back to, again, about how God works and how God leads in our lives. Mm-hmm. I was a carpenter for 30 years after I graduated from college, and then God saw fit to lead me to work at a large automobile manufacturing company. And so, you know, that's what I did. That's what I stepped into. Not thinking that I would do that, but that's where God led. Right. So that's what I did. And so then with the aspect of now what God's called me into is an opportunity to be able to partner with a nephew of mine and to be able to buy brand new vans and go ahead and convert them into a camper van, camper conversion package in them, and for resale. And so a little over a month and a half ago now, my nephew and I started Elevation Vans. And it's one of the biggest things about that is an opportunity to be able to provide a service to people, to be able to help them to be able to fulfill their dreams mm-hmm. and their goals, and be able to give them value in something like this. And our website is elevation-vans.com, and gives us an opportunity to be able to help people out that, you know, are interested in becoming a part of traveling and be able to see God's creation, and then at the same time be able to do it in a comfortable setting, and to be able to have an opportunity to be off grid and you know, live their own personal dreams.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward. I know you just got it started, but I'm looking forward to seeing some pictures and hearing some stuff about once you are able to go full bore into it. So, you know, the website's live and people can reach out to you with questions. We'll make sure to get the information up on the screen for those that are watching this. But yeah,
very good.
Thank you very much for taking time out of your road trip to sit down for a little bit and share your story of how you came to Christ.
When someone trusts Christ as Savior, God's Spirit indwells them, allowing them incredible access to God Himself. Just before Jesus was arrested and later crucified, He told His disciples in John 16:13, "When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own, but will speak whatever He hears. He will also declare to you what is to come." Multiple times in his story, Jim pointed to how important the Spirit's working in his life was to him, and how he was learning to rely on the Holy Spirit's guidance more and more as he continues to grow. If you are in Christ, I encourage you to listen to God's leading, as the Spirit's purpose is to guide you into all truth. I'm thankful that Jim was able to share and highlight this truth. If you're enjoying these stories, please let me know and others by hitting the like button and leaving a comment. Also, as a reminder, the audio version of all episodes are on all major podcast platforms, and the video version can be found on YouTube or by going to my website, twareproductions.com, where you'll find additional ways to contact me directly. We'll see you next time on the Redemption Report podcast.